You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Classic journal question as well. Can I have a jaw?
The Wire.
The ACT Party has recently pledged to abolish cultural reports if they are elected. Cultural reports contain background detail about the offender, which judges refer to when determining the length and type of sentence. I spoke with senior law lecturer at the University of Auckland, Dylan Asafo, about the potential harmful consequences of abolishing these reports. Could you please explain a bit about what ACT's pledge is?
So ACT is pledging to abolish cultural reports from the sentencing process. They haven't detailed how they'll abolish it, but that does require an amendment to the Sentencing Act, Section 27.
How would the removal of cultural reports negatively impact defendants?
So cultural reports are absolutely essential to a fair and equitable justice system. They allow judges to have accurate information about the people that they are about to sentence. They have information about who they are and the circumstances leading up to their offending, as well as important information about the best options for them moving forward. So it is not only essential for people who have committed crimes, but for the whole justice system in terms of making sure that people who commit crimes are able to have the best consequences of their actions so that everyone is able to be safe.
What would the criminal justice system look like without cultural reports?
Without the cultural reports, we would have judges sentencing people without any real idea of who they are and their background, as well as the circumstances leading up to their offending. So you'd have judges being more likely to hand down more harsher sentences that would not only be harmful to the person who committed the crime, but to their whānau, and also would most likely lead to the underlying factors behind the offence being exacerbated as well.
What can the government do to better improve current cultural reports?
So the current government could actually improve cultural reports by making sure that there is not only guaranteed funding, so it's accessible for people who need cultural reports for a fair sentencing process, but also ensuring that there is an accreditation process for cultural report writers, because one of the concerns that we have is that people who are writing reports aren't doing them correctly. It's very rare, but it is a problem that is out there. So making sure that the people who are writing these reports have the proper training and are writing them as accurately as possible.
In your New Zealand Herald article, Associate Professor Kylie Quince said that cultural reports speak to offenders' identity and their potential. Are there other ways to improve our criminal justice system so that it considers these factors?
Yes, so we definitely need more services in the community to help people who have offended once they've either been released from imprisonment or maybe after they've finished home detention, so that they are actually able to reach their potential. Because unfortunately, when people commit crimes, that they have a stigma or they have barriers to actually gaining meaningful employment and accessing other essential services that will help them improve their lives, heal and rehabilitate accordingly so that they're less likely to commit crimes again.
I think when the media reports on this issue, there's often a lot of bias. So what can the general public do to learn more about this issue, kind of free from that bias?
Yes, it's a really difficult issue, criminal justice, because the media does have a strong bias towards tough on crime narratives that paint people who commit crimes as beyond redemption and beyond rehabilitation, which is really harmful for all of society, because it means that we're not able to actually address the root causes. So as members of society, it's really important for us to be discerning, to understand when the media is portraying these narratives that are carried out or largely proliferated by conservative politicians, particularly from the National and ACT Party, but also the Labour Party is guilty of this as well. And it's because tough on crime narratives are extremely popular amongst a large sector of society who vote. So it's really important that we scrutinize these narratives and understand that experts have been telling us that the tough on crime narrative is racist, that it's actually not based on evidence, and that we need to actually address the root causes of crime, which include poverty and unemployment and poor housing.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
I think it's important for people to know as well is that the National and ACT parties are exploiting recent tragedies, particularly the shootings which happened in the Auckland CBD, and citing or looking at culture reports as one of the key reasons as to why the offending took place, where the person who committed the shooting was actually able to have a culture report at the sentencing that led to the sentence of home detention. So I think it's important to note that these politicians, that they're not actually genuinely invested in keeping communities safe or addressing the root causes of that offending. They're wanting to exploit the fear and anxiety and the pain that a lot of people are feeling from that recent tragedy to essentially win votes, because they know that the tough on crime narrative is extremely popular. So it's really important for all of us as New Zealanders to be able to identify that that is what's happening, that they're exploiting tragedy, and to resist, I guess, giving into these narratives.
That was senior law lecturer at the University of Auckland, Dylan Asafo, about the potential harmful impacts of abolishing cultural reports.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.